Hello, and welcome to another interview from Jason's Connection. I'm Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connection's Content Director. Today I'm going to be talking with Aram Christopher, an award-winning filmmaker, about his latest project, Listen, and his work with Teen Truth. Over the last 9 years, Aram has dedicated his life to giving youth a voice through students, short films, leadership programs, and live experiences. His goal has always been to challenge teenagers to think differently about the issues and empower them to be the difference in their lives and the lives of others. So thank you so much for joining us today, Aram. I guess my first question is, tell us about Teen Truth, how and why you started it, and what is it?
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be able to have this conversation. To answer your question, Teen Truth was basically evolved about out of an event that really made me want to ask a very important question, and it was the Columbine High School shooting that happened back on April 20th, 1999. After that happened, a lot of people were trying to figure out why this could happen, and I was asking that same question, but what was troubling to me is that a lot of the experts weren't really asking the youth why, and I felt like the youth had a lot to say, and the psychologists and counselors were really trying to find out the reason, but they weren't really asking the youth what they thought. So after interviewing about 150 random diverse students, I realized that the one thing that the students kept saying over and over again is that no one really listens to us. So it gave the spark of an idea to give the youth a voice. So I ended up giving 5 diverse youth each a video camera and let them film a year in their life. And after doing that, I received over 80 hours of really compelling raw content, and I worked with another student and cut it down into a 22-minute film. And that film, the response from it was so positive that it evolved into 4 films, and then I turned it into a live speaking experience. In the last 9 years of my life, I've spent sharing those films and talking about these issues. But I feel now it needs to really, we need to change the conversation a bit. I don't think it's just about the issues. I think it's about something more.
Okay. So why film as the medium that you're working with?
Why film? I think that, number one, film is a tremendously powerful medium, and it's something that everyone is connected to. Number one, there's all different types of films. Number two, they have a tremendous ability to bring out emotions in ways that we sometimes can't even control. It makes you laugh, cry, get scared, angry. And I think the ability for a story to have an audience member connect on their own level. For example, if you and I watched a movie together, you might connect to the female character or the male character. I might connect to maybe the older character or the younger character. We'll all connect at some level, even though it's not with maybe the same thing. At the end of that film, you and I will be able to have a very interesting discussion about how that film connected to us. And I think that, for me, is why I like to make movies, because my mandate as a filmmaker is to bridge social divides through creative mm-hmm. storytelling, and films allow you to do that.
Right. So let's talk about Listen, your latest film. I saw some of the clips of it, and it's so powerful. Tell our listeners what the film is about and what inspired you to make it.
Listen is really inspired by the youth. As I mentioned, the last 9 years I've been traveling all over North America and even overseas, and I've had the privilege to speak to over 700,000 youth, and what I've noticed that no matter where I'm at, whether it's in Rome, Italy, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, or New York, still the youth are saying the same thing, that no one listens to us. And I find that the youth often look at each other and find differences, whether it's a social, economic, ethnic, maybe intellectual differences, challenges, disabilities, sexual preference. I don't care what it is. The one thing that we often do when we look at each other, especially I find with youth, is that we find reasons to disconnect, which mm-hmm. is ironic to me, because what we want more than anything in life is to connect. And social media is a perfect example of that. We're not saying, look at the pizza I had last night. We're saying, like me, share me, connect with me. And what I wanted to do with Listen is really level the playing field for why we should connect, to reveal how these different individuals, mainly youth, but also adults, educators, counselors, parents, to really basically strip down all of the reasons why we find ourselves as different and give us an inside look about why we are all connected. So that's the one reason. And then the second reason is to also reveal the moments that we have every single day to connect to people in positive ways and how we miss those moments. And when I mean connect, I mean to truly listen to those moments with our eyes, with our ears, with our hearts, with our minds. And we all do it. We all miss these moments. And what happens when we miss those moments? What happens to our communities, to us as individuals, and to those around us? So the inspiration for the film was the youth, because I felt like they don't feel like they're listened to. And I don't think Hollywood has done a suitable job of really illustrating how these youth feel. Like, my objective is to have youth watch this film and say, thank you, you made me feel like I'm not alone, and now I want to share this with my parents because I want them to understand what I'm going through. And you created a platform where maybe I couldn't express that, but this film does that, and it makes me feel good about it. And that was really the objective here. So I hope that answers your questions. I feel like I tried to pack a lot into this film because of the last 9 years, the youth gave me a lot to say.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my next question. You know, you've talked to over 700,000 teenagers. I'm a grown woman. I'm not a teenager. I know teenagers, but I can't say that I understand what they go through nowadays. I know what it was like when I was a teenager, but that was a long time ago. I mean, so, you know, when you talk to these kids, what do you hear them saying about, you know, I wish my parents knew this, I wish my teachers knew this? Like, what are the biggest issues that they're facing right now?
I think that, number one, I could just go back to the simple act of listening. I feel that these youth feel that whatever they're dealing with is something that they're the only person dealing with it. And when they try to express how they're feeling, maybe to a parent looks at it as a phase, as something that I've been through and I'll get over. But the irony of the whole thing is that when you say that you don't remember being a youth, but I bet you I could ask you a few questions that would connect you back to being a youth. And also ask questions that also connect you to how you might feel today, and it's the same thing a youth is feeling. I think that's the real interesting thing. I'm a parent. I've got two little girls. And my 2.5-year-old wants me to listen. She wants to talk my ear off. And if I don't give her that attention, what am I saying to her? I'm basically telling her that what she has to say is not important enough. And then what is she going to do to me when I ask her to do something? I see it already how she does not reciprocate that listening. And it's such a simple act. But going back to the issues, I'll ask you a question. Can you, look at yourself in the mirror, are you 100% satisfied with everything that you see all the time?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a common thing that a youth feels, is that they look in the mirror and they're trying to change themselves. They're trying to change the style, their hair color, their piercings. Maybe they're even trying to lose weight. That's an adult theme too. I mean, if it wasn't, then the diet industry wouldn't be a $1 billion industry. So that's one level. Drug and alcohol abuse is another level. I mean, how many people at the end of a work day need a glass of wine or a scotch to decompress because they felt like the challenges or what they dealt with through the day was too much to handle? How many youth are experiencing with drugs and alcohol because they feel life is too stressful and too much to handle? So it's really tearing those things away and saying, okay, you might be different by 20 to 30 or 40 or 50 years, but we have to understand that we do get stressed out. We don't like the way we look. We do get bullied by others emotionally, sometimes even physically. So we do all feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bullying does not end in school, unfortunately.
Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah, I mean, there is, let's talk a minute about this bullying subject, because, you know, I think most of us have suffered with it, no matter what generation we're in. But I think, you know, it seems like it's being talked about a lot more nowadays. Why is that? I mean, what? It's
It's
such
really
a current
funny.
topic.
I have to be honest with you. I'm so tired of that word. It's like we have used it as, I guess, just something to say. It becomes this word that gets everybody to perk their eyes and perk their ears up. And what's interesting is, you know, when I embarked on this, the original project that got me really focused on youth issues, that was back in 1999. And the youth were saying that then. And then when I released the first film where the title was Bullying and School Violence, that was in 2006. That was 9 years ago. And we were already starting that conversation. And then all of a sudden, about 8 to 9, well, probably about 6 to 8 years later, then there was a spike in suicides. There was a spike in issues on campus. And everybody started putting their arms up and saying, oh my gosh, we have a bullying problem. There was a bullying problem back in 1999. And what really bothered me is that I feel like we haven't been focusing on the issue in the way that we really should. I don't think it's about the word. I don't think it's about just the bullies. I don't think it's just about the victims. I think what it's about is our impact on each other. Is we fail to realize how powerful we are as human beings and the influence that we have on others. And the youth don't understand that, in my opinion. I don't think adults do, too, sometimes. Me, I don't even understand it completely. The words that come out of my mouth, how they can be deeply offensive in a certain context, and I didn't realize that that came out that way. I mean, I think that we're failing to realize how important our influence is on others around us, and you can see it present in the film. Actually, one of the teachers even gives that as an assignment in the movie. I want you to write about how someone's influenced you, because I think we forget the good and the bad, and the bad influence stays with us forever, truly forever. I can take a room of adults and ask, can you remember being bullied when you were, you know, 12 to 15? They raise their hand. Can you remember a specific incident? Can you remember the name, the first name of someone that did it to you? And most likely 50% could always remember down to the name. And it's all about the impact. Take the word out of the equation, because the impact can also be good. And that's the other thing that we forget. We forget how we can also have a positive impact on someone's life. And when we do that, what kind of chain of events can that do? It can ultimately even save a life. And then what does it do for us as an individual? When someone says, like, I've had so much bad things happen to me, the first thing that I try to do is redirect that to them doing something positive for someone else. Because chances are there's someone just like them that's having that same thing. So put yourself in the position of doing positive things and see what that does to you as a person and how you feel. So, you know, the bullying thing, I agree, it's been around. It's always been there. But we have to start realizing the psychology behind it. And really, in my opinion, it boils down to influence and impact.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what creates the person who's doing the bullying, too. I mean,
exactly.
There's a reason why a bully is being a bully. And, you know, it usually starts with someone not seeing them or hearing them the way they need to be seen and heard. You know, any attention is good attention to some people. And so that's how it happens. So, that's really powerful. So
Oh, no, I just want to add one thing. Like, I love what you said. It's understanding why the person is doing that. Because oftentimes when someone gets bullied, we go towards the bullier and we immediately want to punish them or, you know, have some kind of judicial action upon them. And we don't understand, well, how did that person become that way in the first place? And what can we do to basically prevent that happening from the future? It was interesting, like I met a Secret Service agent that did security for schools, and he was telling me how they were able to create a program that bridged the counselors with law enforcement, with the SROs, and he would say, you know, when someone brings a weapon to school, what we're interested in first and foremost is why. But oftentimes when that happens, usually they throw the book at the student, and they try to kick him out of the school, and we never ask the question of why you did it. So how are we solving that problem? Because that's just going to make that student even more upset with that situation and escalate that, you know, that cycle to get even worse.
Yeah. If you're not finding the source of it, you can't really solve it.
Exactly. And it goes back to that question of asking those youth why in, back in 1999.
Yeah. So, I mean, how did you get involved? I mean, I know you were talking about Columbine, but how did you actually get involved in working with young people? I mean, initially, how... What's your background, basically?
My background, I guess I was a youth. That's my background. I guess that's the reason that I connected, because I felt I wasn't heard some of the time as well. And there was a very traumatic incident where I almost brought a gun to school when I was 14 years old. And I didn't really... I guess, connect the dots until I actually made my first documentary film about that particular subject matter. And it was very, I think, healing for me in the process of making it, because I realized that I started making a film about myself and how I felt.
Yeah.
But my background is, you know, when I graduated from high school, I had an acting scholarship, and I studied acting and directing at Santa Clara University. And then I moved down to Los Angeles like every other person that wanted to be an actor, and then started getting involved in that, and then realized quickly that I didn't really want to pursue that. And I started working for CBS television in the business side of things, and then Columbine happened. And truthfully, when Columbine happened, I just felt compelled to kind of explore this question, and sold items on eBay to raise enough money to buy my first Apple computer and teach myself how to edit Final Cut Pro. And I kind of learned it on my own until I eventually went back to film school. And then after I came out of film school, that's when an educational distributor had viewed a trailer that was cut and then asked if it could be made into an educational film. And that's when it all started.
Right on. Yeah, so what are your goals with Listen? What are you taking it to film festivals? Like, what are you actually doing with this particular film?
What we've been doing first is to set up some preview screenings. With the film, it's not 100% finished. There's still some tweaks that I want to do to it, but we wanted to get it out to some audiences in select cities. And see what the response would be. Make sure that it was hitting pretty much every step of the way in this film, from the table read to when I had the fine cut. I had youth involved and had them tell us, is this language authentic? Are these stories compelling? And actually, a group of youth helped change the ending of the film before it was, you know, in a locked picture mode. So what we want to do is continue to make sure that this subject, these stories are resonating with the audience. So far we've shown it to, I think, about 5,000 people in California, Oklahoma. Just did a screening at a mental health hospital in Canada's capital, and we're going to be doing this a bit more to get the audience interested in the film. Hopefully they validate the authenticity of the message. And then we've applied to film festivals, so when the final film, when we have that final film, hopefully we get into a reasonable film festival. And ultimately, we'd love to get wide distribution. We feel that the youth are connecting to this. They want to see this. A lot of the youth that have previewed it said, I can't wait till this comes out. I'm inviting all of my friends. I'm dragging my parents. And And I think the hardest thing we have right now is convincing Hollywood that this is what the youth want to watch, because it's not a traditional, and it's really not targeted at youth. Funny how adults say, I don't feel that this is a youth film, this is for us. And I love that, because that's what it should be. Again, bridging those social divides through creative storytelling.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah. It is important for the kids to go, but it's super important for their parents to go too.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully they have a discussion afterwards, and it's exactly what I know you guys are doing with your organization.
Yeah, I mean, anything that gets people talking about these issues, you know, in a real way is going to make the world a better place in the long run, and possibly even in the short run too. Let our listeners know how they can follow your work, and you know, because I know you have Teen Truth as well. So how can people, you know, how can students come and hear you speak, and how can people keep up with what's going on with your film?
I think the best way would be to follow my Aram underscore Chris, so at E-R-A-H-M underscore C-H-R-I-S, and also follow at Listen the Movie. You can also see the trailer at listenthemovie.com, and I think that's the best way to get in contact and know where I'm going to be and how they can see the film. That would be fantastic, and really we just hopefully people, when they see the trailer, they really like it and they share it and spread it, and because we really want to get this out there, because it's about time that we start listening.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I think that, you know, the two, hopefully when they see the trailer, they start to realize the importance of listening. But I think it's, you don't need to see the film to start thinking about it. I think the most important thing for me today is really recognizing when we can connect to others and when we might be missing those moments to truly be listening to, you know, those around us, whether they're in our family or our friend circle or not, with your eyes, with your ears, with your hearts, and with your minds, and just think about what you can do with your impact and influence on that person, and what might happen if we don't, you know, basically take advantage of that moment. And we all have to remember that we all feel this way.
Exactly. Yeah. We're more alike than we are different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. A student once told me, you know, I don't understand why people don't realize that our similarities outweigh our differences. And I said, you know, it's very, very smartly said.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we wish you the best of luck with your film. And we'll definitely be following your progress.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and I look forward to connecting with your organization more in the future.
Great.